Okay, so this talk is titled Local Models 2, but it's not really about local models. not quite. So what I'm going to do is try to give an idea of the point counting formula that Malk used in his first talk on Monday for the modular curve. Okay, so begin with y. Y of n, so this will be the modular curve of full level n, so the parameterizes of the curves with an isomorphism. So I've been kind of saying this kind of stuff. So if you're over an algebraic closed field, then you literally just require an isomorphism, a level of groups. But if you're not over an algebraic closed field, then this side has a Galois action, and you require this to be a Galois covariant isomorphism. In other words, you require this to be the action of Galois and this to be trivial. All right, so pick a prime P with that's prime to n. And what we're going to do is study the points of y mod p. All right, so we're going to look at q equals p of the r. So the way this goes is you split up. The y of fq is some kind of parameter moduli space of the curve, the original structure. You split this up into isogeny classes, and you count points within each isogeny class. All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to fix an elliptic curve e0 over fq. All right. It's defined over fq, and then this will be all the kind of elliptic curves E alpha with level structure such that E is isogenous over Q to E0. All right, so our goal is to see how many points there are, like to give a group theoretic description of the number of points. Okay, so basically the idea is that when you have an object like that, E alpha, where E is isogeny to zero, suppose I have some mass in here, some element in here, point, and so this gives me over FQ. And so take some isogeny. Suppose I have an isogeny f from E0 to EF. Alright, what does it give me? So to each elliptic curve, I can associate many linear algebraic gadgets. That's essentially what cohomology is. Right. So I can with E an elliptic curve. Over FQ. First of all, I can take a Kalkoff homology. Alright, so look at this. Where L is not equal to theory that can be right? And so this is actually just the inverse limit for definition. That and each of these pieces is, of course, dual. By dual, I mean Hom's into V mod L and V to just as a Galois module. So this has, first of all, it's not just a vector, it's not just a VL module, it's a VL module with a continuous action of the Galois group. That's here. In particular, I have the Q Frobenius in there. It's going to be a geometric Frobenius. No, it's going to be arithmetic Frobenius. And so that's going to determine the entire action of Galois. So as Galois modules, it's this thing is a dual of the Allen torsion. So that's one structure that you can associate with the LP curve, and somehow it has something to do with covers of the LP curve. I got me out of the LP curve or into the curve. Alright. The second gadget you're going to assume. So for L away from P, this is one way to attach a linear algebra gadget. For L at P, what we have is that Ludon A module that I defined earlier, this crystal, right? So you get the crystalline homology of E over what is ZQ? ZQ is the unique unramified extension of VP with residue field FQ. Alright? So, by definition, this is the inverse limit over N of so remember, we have this crystal, and I said that you can so for any nilpotent thickening, you can evaluate this crystal on that thickening, in particular, you can evaluate it on ZQ mod P of the N ZQ. Okay? This is just the thing that we saw earlier today. And the point is that powers of P always admit that you can always make sense of P of the N over N factorial. That's what's going on here. So what kind of structure is this? Well, this is a what's called an F isocrystal. Well, not this. Well, so let me take and then invert P. All right. So this is an F isocrystal. What do I mean by that? So remember, we have the Frobenius from E to its Frobenius twist, and then we have the Verschiebung V to E in the composition given by T. So, by functoriality of this Ludon A module construction, you get mass in the other direction, so from H1 crisp of E, I get a mass from to H1 crisp of its Frobenius twist. Its Frobenius twist, you can identify it with just pullback under sigma. So sigma is K is a unique list of Frobenius. Or in other words, it's the generator of the group of automorphisms of ZQ over ZP. Okay?
Or it's one of them.
It's the generator of the list of Frobenius. So I get this map F, and similarly you get a map V going the other direction that comes from the Vershismo. Alright? And they satisfy FV equals VF equals P. Alright? So alright? And when you invert P, what you end up with is what's called an F isomer.
So this
Frobenius
is an arithmetic
Frobenius, unlike the V. Yeah. No, the Frobenius is also the arithmetic Frobenius. I said geometric and then switched to it. But both are the same for me. Okay. So this is the kind of structure that I have on H1 script. So basically, away from P, I just have a Gaussian homology, and at P, I have this somewhat twisted structure, all right? Because this map F here is not linear, it's semi-linear with respect to the automorphic signal. Okay, so now how do we describe Y of Q? Well, so fixed an isogeny, like so, then when I can pull back, so let me fix certain things. So that's HP be the Gaussian homology of E0 over FP bar with coefficients in the prime to P finite adults. So basically all the L's that are prime to P, and let H of P be the crystalline homology. So this is a Galois module, and this is an F isogeny. So I have this isogeny, then I can pull back the Gaussian homology and this gives me a lattice. This is a Galois stable prime to P for finite integers.
Maybe you don't want AF to be the quant, V hat to be the coefficient.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's not, otherwise, it would not be a lattice. It would just be an isomorphism. Okay. So this is a Galois stable V hat P lattice. So that's one piece of data that you get from the choice of isogeny. Another one, of course, is you can always pull back the crystalline homology. So you can pull back the crystalline homology. That gives you an FB stable EQ lattice. Alright? And of course, alright, so I thought that we also have this level structure. So from these two things, we get, we can associate the choice of element X and the isogeny F, we have a Galois stable lattice
inside of HP, right?
And we get
a FP table. That's the CP lattice, the prime CP lattice, and this is a VQ lattice. We also have a level structure. The level structure alpha x, gives us an isomorphism from okay. Again, it's all right. So this is essentially the data that you. Yeah. And it's fine to see. Right, so this is essentially, if you fix a point x and a choice orthogony, you get this collection of data. So now let me set yp to be the collection of pairs L and alpha. We call it beta. L and beta, where LP inside of HP is a Galois stable lattice. And beta is an isomorphism also Galois covariant. All right, and let me now set y sub p to be the collection of lattices in here that are FP spaces. We now get, let's make one more definition, and now let me set so as you can see, if we fix a choice of isogeny for any point in my isogeny class, then I get a triple consisting of a pair here and a lattice here. Alright? So what I see is that, so I want to somehow not have this isogeny, this choice that I made. I want to see what happens if I change the choice of isogeny. Well, if I have two different isogenies, then they differ by up to multiple isogeny of U0. Okay? So what I want to look at now is this following group, I, so this would be a group, algebraic group, over Q, and its point in any Q algebra
the endomorph of the ring of A,
right,
E0, centered up with R.
This will be my group.
I, in particular, I of Q, consists of okay, so I kind of act on the elliptic curve, because it's the endomorphism, or the automorphism of the elliptic curve. So in particular, it acts on the cohomology groups of the elliptic curve, right? So I have maps. So I naturally act on
HP across H lower P.
And it does so, well, on H P, it acts Galois covariantly because it comes from an actual automorphism of the elliptic curve, so it preserves the Galois structure. And on H sub P, it acts in a way that preserves the FV structure, the active curve structure. All right. So,
So we have these two actions,
and I want to say that so we can define a map FQ. So since it acts on H upper P and H lower P, it acts on the spaces Y upper P and Y lower P by simply permuting the lattices within H upper P and H lower P. All right. So it makes sense then to look at this quotient space, right? I assume acts diagonally on Y upper P, Y lower P. And the map is very simple now. It's just the map that we send X to the class of LP XS alpha XS L lower P XS, or some choice of isogeny. Any two choices of isogeny will differ by an element in I of Q, so this is well defined. All right. So the claim, I guess, is theorem, is that this is the bidash. Right? So you have a complete description of the isogeny class in terms of this more or less group theoretic object. So give a group theory description of things. All right, so this is a bijection. We want to prove this. So first we prove injectivity. Okay, let's prove surjectivity. All right. So essentially, given something in YP cause Y sub P, you want to associate with that an isogenous elliptic curve that kind of recovers those latitudes for you. So suppose we have up to scaling, we can assume which is allowed since scalars are in IFQ, we can scale. We can assume that LP sits inside H1. And you're going to assume that L sub T sits inside of that. So we might as well kind of assume that we have this inside here. This sits inside some power of t. Okay. So the point now is that you have a subspace between here and here. So it really is corresponds to. So LP gives me LT bar, which is just a submodule of just a finite etale cohomology. And so what that means is that if you think about it in terms of etale covers or isogenies, what is classified is essentially classified n power, sorry, degree m isogeny to the elliptic curve, or the elliptic curve. So what this means is that there is, so you can attach to, this gives me a subgroup inside of E0. So a subgroup that's Galois stable, right? Because this is Galois stable. And so we can just then look at E0 mod C to the P. Well, since C to the P is defined as Galois stable, it's defined over F2. So E0 mod CP is also defined over FQ. All right? So this is an FQ curve that's clearly isogenous to E0. All right? And it recovers this lattice for me, L operator, when I have a natural isogeny from E0 to E0 mod CP, and I pull back the lattice. By construction, the way it's set up is that I recover the lattice. Okay. So I still need to somehow recover the lattice L sub T. This is a little trickier. And I won't really say, well, enough about it, but the point is that the Dudonné functor for is not just a functor on a level of elliptic curves or mean variety, but in fact it's a functor on finite group scheme. All right? So when you're working mod P, as I explained like on Monday, P power torsion in the elliptic curve
well, you can't really think of it in terms of points, but you can just think of it as a scheme, and then it's a nice group scheme. And so you can build your if you build like a robust enough domain game theory, then it tells you that something like the following, that if I that I can attach to either of PVN, PVR, let's say, this given A crystal, or given A whatever, that looks like this. And inside of here, I have my lattice. Then that corresponds under the Dubin A functor for group schemes to this is a PX, well, group scheme. Zero, the subgroup scheme is there, and which corresponds to this submodule in the Dubin A crystal. Alright? So what we can do now is we can take our curve E to be E0 mod CP C sub P, and this is the LK curve, which gives me this tuple when I look at it via the natural isogeny from E to E0. Right? I mean, somehow the double structure gets taken care of by itself. So L P off of E. That shows subjectivity. I mean, so we've shown surjectivity, now we want to show injectivity. So what I wanted to say, is that if you have two classes in YP cross Y sub P that are related by an isogeny, then they must in fact come from the same isogeny, same isogeny as LP curve. Right? So suppose X and Y have the same image. It means that there exists alpha. E0 to EX, well, F and G from E0 to EY, such that you have a collection LPXF, alpha XF, and L sub T XF differs from alpha YG, alpha YG by an H. That's all I mean, that's just the definition. All right? So, what do you want to show?
Exciting part of this one.
Right. So
you want to somehow construct
an isomorphism from EX to EY. That's basically what you want. Okay, so we have this isogeny H, which, so H is not quite an automorphism of E0, it's an automorphism up to scaling. So if I scale it, then I get an actual endomorphism of E0, right? So you find H0 from E0 to E0 such that H is an inverse H0. Then we can replace. You can replace. Yeah. You can replace F. So by F A zero and G by G times M or M G. You do this. So remember, if I pull this back by H, I get this. Right? So if I pull this back by H0, I get M times this. Right? So if I now pull this back by H0 and pull this back by M, then I get the same thing. Alright? So now we can assume that the tuples are actually equal. So equal to some fixing for LP. So we can do that. So now the claim is that there exists an isomorphism iota from EX. Alpha X EY comma alpha Y such that the diagram E0 alpha EX iota beta commutes. Right? And why is this true? Well, so I can somehow formally invert alpha and go along this path, alpha inverse and then beta. Right? So that would work in the isogeny category. All right? So but this inversion, kind of going along this way, works as long as I multiply by a suitably high number. All right? So if I have an isogeny that's not quite a map, I just multiply it by some number and become an honest map. Right? So M times iota is an actual. So M times iota exists without any doubt. So some M margin. this condition that the lattices match up, so m times iota prime, so definitely you can find iota prime such that diagram e0 alpha dx m times theta dy is for m large enough.
Alpha and beta.
Alpha and beta. I've been writing alpha and beta. Oh, sorry.
And this is G.
Alpha is the level structure.
Thank you.
Right. So the point now is that iota prime of EXM is zero. Alright, and that says something that you can check by looking at what iota prime does to the cohomology. Right? We know exactly what iota prime does to cohomology because we know exactly how things behave under pullback by F and G, in particular by iota prime. Alright? So knowing that tells us that iota prime of EX, the nth order of EX, is zero. Alright? And this implies that the map iota prime to EY factors as some iota, m followed by some iota. Alright? So this is basically the point is that for if you have a map between open and closed, if you have any variety, then it checks that it's n divisible is equivalent to checking that it kills n words. Alright, so this gives me the idea. And again, by construction, since it's an isomorphism. So once you have the existence of iota, then you know that it's an isomorphism because you know what it does to cohomology. Right? You can use the isomorphism. Okay. So this is the isomorphism, and so it shows that x and y are actually the same point in my life. Right? So this implies that x equals y in okay, so I fill out an algebraic group. Did I erase the statement here? So all in all, we have the description that we wanted completely in terms of linear algebra. So the whole kind of the number of points is somehow complete. The point set itself is defined somehow linear algebraically. So we can somehow hope to have some group data information, like group data description, its actual cardinality. Okay. So from that, now choose spacing for the true spacing for both generalizations of HP and A sub P. And then here we have the pure Frobenius. And here we have the semi-linear endomorphism F. Right? So when you translate in, so you can now view them as automorphisms of AFP squared or QQ squared. And then, so this gives rise to gamma. GL2 or AFP, so act on here. And if F gives rise to a delta in GL2 or QQ, So,
let me just try to move it forward. We have delta M.
So, to this gamma here, the gamma is a semi-convolvent, well, this is somewhat easy to see all the curves, but it's also true in general for a viewing variety, for being exact. So, I can look at the stabilizer of gamma, the g of gamma inside the g of 2. AFP will be a stabilizer, or a centralizer of gamma. And over here, well, so why do I look at a centralizer here? It's because I chose a civilization and then I got this gamma. But if I choose a different civilization that just conjugates gamma by a different element, so the things in G gamma don't affect the choice of gamma, right? So over here, on the other hand, this is a semi-linear map, so it behaves slightly differently under standard basis, right? So if you change the differentialization, that's, let's say I have an H, and then I change my thing by H, then delta will change to H delta sigma of H inverse. Okay? Either this or H inverse delta sigma of H, you can work it out. One of these things. So what we should be looking at here is not the stabilizer, but kind of a twisted stabilizer. So this is basically where the twisting happens. So all the twisting somehow happens at P, because a tall cohomology of P is badly behaved, so we have to resort to crystalline cohomology, which is only semi-linear somehow. So let me take I delta to be the group over QP. That's points in any QP algebra will be given by H in GL2 R tensor 2Q such that H inverse delta sigma of H is done. All right? In other words, the possible set of deltas that I can get under the various civilization is a homogeneous space under GL2 of QQ, I guess, and then the stabilizer of a point, the delta, will be the QP points of this group. All right? Okay. So here's the theorem. For elliptic curves, it's probably known before, but for Abelian varieties, it's theorem of Tate, which says that endomorphisms of E0 tensored with QL for L not equal to P is equal of H. Let me say this. It's equal to N. Okay. And furthermore, endomorphism of E tensor up to Q
is equal to anamorphism.
HP. Alright? In other words,
any anamorphism of the Elliptic curve, or in general, the theorem holds for every variety, and basically everything that we did kind of goes through similarly for every variety, it says that you can figure out that something.
But it tells us, it says that endomorphisms
are generated, endomorphisms of the Petersburg group in this case, or of the Italic homology, are in fact generated by honest endomorphisms of your Elliptic curve. Okay? And a corollary to this is that the group I, that I define the Q group, when I base change to AFP, then that's, and I view it as a subgroup of GL2 via that trivialization, then it's actually just equal to I gamma. And I tensor QP, now I view it as a subgroup of GL2 of QQ via its action on A sub P. Then it's actually equal to I delta. So now I can kind of define the object that we saw on Monday.
So let me take
the case of P, the GL2 of ZP, I GL2 of QP, and let S of P, so I pick some R measure and GL2 of QP that takes rational values on this, maybe take value 1. FP is the characteristic.
Gets to 1 over KP.
I define the order of integral of, and let FP be any function on here. And so now I take to find the order of integral, which is what we saw on Monday, at least for a particular choice of function. So what we'll do is we will be integrating over the homogeneous space, which essentially counts the various gammas that you get by different choices of trivialization. All right. FP evaluated on X inverse gamma X. Dx. I'll come back to the X in a bit. How do I use this F sub P? Well, the F sub P I would use to define a twisted orbital integral. Since instead of kind of integrating over sort of choices of different choices of gamma that I get, I'm integrating over different choices of delta, right? The twisted orbital integral, so if for any function, E on GL2 of QP,
delta of C to be I delta of QP.
So by kind of this corollary here, instead of writing I gamma of AFT, I could have written just I of AFT. Alright?
Similarly over here, thinking. So here.
QQ. So now instead of going over conjugates, I go triplet conjugates. So let me now take C of R to be the characteristic function of DL through VP. Well, let me just write KP. Like so. Then the theorem.
What's R?
R, what is R?
So it should be DL to Z Q, not
that. DL to Z, where is DL to? Where did I get DL to Z?
Okay, P is
DL to Z Q,
at the top.
Where did I get it?
At the top.
That is DL to Z Q.
No, on the phi is the function of DL to Z Q.
On the
lower one. Well, first line of
the lower one. Is it? Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, but you have GL2VP
inside of GL2. The first line of the lower one, GL2QQ.
GL2QQ.
That's
on
the lower
one. Is that line at the lower board?
With GQP. First line.
Should be.
Q is P of the
other. Okay. So phi R should be carry function. K should not be taking but 0 to
Z. 0 to Q, V, Q. The number of points of this thing is the volume times the orbital interval of, I know something happened here.